Blog Talk Radio.
This is a dangerous group.
Ladies and gentlemen!
What's this nonsense?
I'm young. I'm handsome. I'm fast. I'm pretty. And can't possibly be beat.
Listeners, this is Baby Mama Talk with Nikki Outlaw, co-host KD and Lady Q on Lawless Radio. We thank you for tuning in once again on Tuesday evening. And as some of you know, and for our new listeners, we are on every Tuesday evening from 8 to 9 Eastern Standard Time. And you can listen to us at lawlessradio.com or call us at 646-478-5209. Please support Lawless Radio because we support each other and our up-and-coming artists. Tonight we are having one of our special guests tonight is author Natalie Weber, and we're going to bring her on. She has two wonderful books out there, Bi Curious and Bi Curious Volume 2. And if I am not mistaken, she is working on Volume 3, but we're going to let Ms. Weber tell us about that as we go on. Good evening, Natalie. You are on the air.
Hello. Hi, everybody.
Natalie,
yeah.
When we were talking and, you know, getting you to book you on our show, and again, I thank you for agreeing to come on. I'm very appreciative. One of the things when I was, you know, looking at your titles, I have not read your books, but after reading the synopsis, I will be going to get them. Before we get in depth into the book, though, what was the driving force that made you want to write? Writing isn't easy for everybody.
You're right about that. Well, as a youngster, I used to write all the time, you know. In high school, my friends, I used to write their boyfriends and, you know, use their names. And they used to be like, oh, great, love letters, you know, and they loved it. So, you know, I did that.
So you were the cheat sheet of love letters for the school. Instead of them writing their own, you were the person, the penmanship.
Yes, I was the person, hey, can you write me this one? I like what you said in that one. So, you know,
that everybody from your past now is going to go back, oh, God, did she write mine? Or did my ex really, or did my current really write? You have everybody's thinking now. Okay, all right.
Mm-hmm. I let
Putting
it out
some stuff
bag.
Out there.
I let the cat out the bag. That's it. It's for real. It was me. But, yeah, you know, I did that for a while in high school, and I always liked writing. I had diaries, you know, even as a young adult, you know, 20s. I'm in my 30s now, but, you know, I loved it. And then when I got into the publishing industry, I'm in the publishing industry for about 8 years now. The first, I would say, about 3 years, I was just in the publishing industry doing everything and anything.
How did you get into that? How did you transition from just, you know, writing in high school, doing people's love letters and whatnot?
What it was is that my brother-in-law, Carl Weber, you know, he said, hey, how would you like to come and work for me? I was like, okay, no problem. I did it. You know, and I wanted something new. I was working in the dental industry I was a dental assistant for like 16 years. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I was just like, I wanted something new. I didn't, you know, wasn't feeling it anymore. So
right.
I was like, come on, okay, no problem, try something new. And I just jumped in, and, you know, after 3 years, I was like, hey, you know, maybe I can do this. And then my brother said, hey, what do you think about writing a book? And I was like, okay, no problem. Give me a minute. Like, give me a minute. Let me think about
some things.
Let me think about some things, you know. And you know, I did it. You know, after the first book, I was like, hey, this is not that bad. And, you know, I had great response off of the first book. I mean, it was just wonderful.
Right.
I, all my fans, it was just like, wow. I was like, wow, I'm a new author. And everybody's like, you know, hey, I liked your book. And that was just like top of my day when I would get a tweet. Hey, I just read your book and I loved it. And I was just like, okay, great. You know, and that was it. That was it from there. I just started writing and just continued on. And, yes,
now,
I am writing by Curious 3 now, so.
Okay. All right. So we have all this writing. Besides you writing the love letters and, the, you know, your diaries in a younger age, so the Bi-Curious and the real author of, you know, Natalie Weber is because your brother-in-law said, would you and could you and next thing, let's just do it. So
yeah.
I bet you, are you thanking him every day?
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty
yeah, I mean,
much, you know. I was just thankful that he, you know, had faith in me and, you
right.
know, had said that, yeah, I know you can do it, so you can do it. And I did it, so.
And you know what? So it's I'm glad you said that because as far as having faith in you, because a lot of real passion, the things that people out here who are really successful and doing what they love stems from one person, like your
oh,
brother-in-law.
Yeah.
It does, it stems from one person saying, you know what, do you want to? And I'm giving you the opportunity to try. And
exactly.
And you just, like you said, you have to step out there on faith and just.
That's where it was,
you
know. It was like an opportunity, a door opened, and I said, hey, why don't I not go for it? You know, I can do this. And my brother pushed me. My husband pushed me. You know, even my kid. He was like, why don't you do it, Mom? So I was like, okay, no problem.
And when you got those type of support, you know, you can't go wrong, right?
No.
You cannot go wrong.
You can't go wrong. Once you have a great support system, there's no stopping you. There's just no mm-hmm. stopping you.
Okay. Now I want to go back because you did mention the books. We mentioned the books, Bi-Curious 1, Volume 2, and soon to be Volume 3.
Mm-hmm.
When I was reading the book description of the other, you know, the first and two, I was like, okay, wait. This is, okay, that's some interesting, I'm trying to find the right words here, topic. Very
mm-hmm.
interesting, deep, controversial, sexual topic. Because, and the reason I'm saying this, and I'm going to bring in my co-host in a little bit so they can, you know, ask you questions and also just stem whatever they want to get out. But that, especially as you said, like the very first one, what's her name, Serenity,
mm-hmm.
the main character of the book, you started her off, you can tell I did my research, see, you started her off as a young girl. And
mm-hmm.
I was like, wow, because how many of us young girls, we're surrounded by women majority of our life anyway.
Yeah.
But when you're at that peak trying to figure out what everybody's telling you to do and not do, the movies, the video, especially this day and age, not like I'm in my 30s too, late 30s, you know, back, you know, at that, back in our time, and as you know, those 70s kids, you didn't have, you know, videos, you had, you know, you had mama, daddy, sister, you know, all of that going on and trying to understand just in general what is and what is not correct. And then you have, of course, we're still at the end of segregation. And,
right.
you know, we're, you know, even though we're in schools together, but we're, you know, we're dealing with a lot. And even to, especially in today's society, our kids are really dealing with like triple, 100
yeah.
things going on. And for you to pick this, it's quite interesting because it does hit home for a lot of young girls and a lot of young men and their sexuality. So what made you pick the bi, the fact of, you know, the lesbian concept and starting with a young girl?
Well, I have to say my brother, my little brother, his girlfriend was going through that, and I saw her, you know, and I was like, wow, really? Every, you know, and then her friends would come around and I would see that and I would be like, wow, there's a lot of this going on, and you know, people need to read about it, and people, you know, girls, they do want to read about it. They do want to, they want to feel the story. They want to read the story and see what happens and see how it turns out. And basically just, you know, just having that story just to back you up is a good thing. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. I can definitely understand, because like I said, the girls are going through it. I'm the oldest of five, and I've had two siblings, and actually girls, you know, my sisters, who have gone through similar things. And one is very young and still, you know, and she admits, you know, she's right now just, you know, testing the waters, you know. The other one got out, but I don't want to say get out. That's kind of bad in that. But you know what I'm saying. She tested it. She said that's not what she wants. And
well, that's the other
thing
too. You want these young girls to read and see that it's okay to go ahead and, you know, test the waters if you want to, if that's what you feel like. It's not like, oh well, I can't do that because my mom said it wasn't good. You know, my dad said it wasn't good. You know, and I just want everybody to know that, you know, people like to read books like this. I mean, when I was writing it, even myself, I was like, wow, okay, all right. And then my sister, she would read it, she'd be like, wow, really? You think that's what's going to happen? Like, you know, but I want girls to feel that, okay, well, yes, this is a story and it is fiction, but some of it, you know, there are truths to it. There are girls that go through things, and I want them to see that this is what some girls go through.
Right. I'll bring on my co-host, KD.
Hey.
KD?
Hi.
Hey.
Yes,
go and, you know, go ahead and talk to Natalie and any questions you have or comments?
Yes, Natalie. My question for you is, what advice can you give any young lady or young man that's, you know, maybe going through the same situation, the bi-curious, maybe that's, you know, scared to come out and say that's what they like. They like both, you know, both sex.
Well, my advice is to be real for yourself, you know, real to yourself and real to the others around you. I think the more real you are, people will, you know, respond to you and give you love and still support you.
Right.
You know, I mean, I don't want to say that, you know, you shouldn't do this or you shouldn't do that. You know, everybody, to each person, it's their own. And, you know, people go out there and sometimes they like men for a month. And sometimes they like women for 2 months, you know. So it's like you can't tell a person, hey, you can't do that, you know. It's like telling somebody, oh, you can't like Coca-Cola or Pepsi.
Right. You know, people, they flip-flop between Pepsi and Coke and Dr. Pepper and root beer. I mean, you know. So. What did you say, Katie? You're a little, I couldn't hear you.
I flip-flop.
Well, that's what I'm saying, but that's you, and that makes you, you know, and I'm sure the people around you love you for you. They're not like, hey, I don't like her today because she's with a man, and, you know, 2 days later, I don't like her today because she was with a woman that last week, you know, so it just, I think more real you are with people, the more people will support you.
You're right. You know, you're right. I'm so glad you pointed that out, that last comment you just made about the fact that they flip-flop and the people being mad at you. Because, like I said, my younger sister, she's, thank the Lord, is graduating this year. Like I said, you know, she's at that age that you're talking about right here in the first book. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she was really concerned when she told me and my mom. And my mom and I were like, we love you for whatever you are and whatever you do and whoever you love. You know, it's you know, we're here for you regardless.
Right.
But it was amazing on her close friends that she's had since she was, you know, 2-3 years old and the ones she only knew for a few years. And we were seeing the various reactions from them. Now, I have a wonderful, lovely 2-year-old nephew from her. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you know, she's flip-flopped for like the last maybe year. you know, it's been like this last year. I don't know if it's from having the baby or what, but that she, you know, she's going through the testing of the waters. But it was amazing her friends' reactions. She lost some friends, but at the same time, she found out who her true friends were. And my mom and I said, but you know what? This isn't going to be the first thing, because there's going to be something when you go to college. There's going to be something when you get out of college. There's going to be something when you get into your 20s and 30s. I said, we all go through it, where you go through something where you find out who's the main person that's going to be behind you and have your support. And that's the key, and that's what we need to tell all of our young people, our middle people, our whatever age you are right now, listeners. Mrs. Natalie Weber said it correctly. They're going to love you if they're really true blue friends, family, for who you are, not for whether you love men or women, whether you love Coke or Pepsi. Doesn't matter, and that's the main thing. I'm going to bring on our other co-host, Lady Q.
I am here.
Talk to us, hon.
Miss Natalie, I am so interested in your books. I was trying to order them earlier on Amazon. I got a little tripped up, but I am about to order them. I read the synopsis also and was very interested.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. I love to support authors. I'm an avid reader. I wanted to know, have you got any sort of adverse reaction to the books, and how did you handle that?
Well, yeah, of course I did. You know, I think every author has those that are, you know, I didn't like this or I didn't like that. And you know how I reacted? I was like, hey, okay, that's your opinion, you know, and that's it. I kept it moving. There was no, oh, my gosh, they don't like it. Oh, my God, no, I wasn't like that. It was just, okay, that's your opinion, and I'll move on.
Okay, awesome.
And that's, I think that's how we have to handle, you know, any adverse that comes into anybody's way. I mean, you know, it's just like, you know, all the stuff we see in the news. If you're talking about something, you know, you're just voicing your opinion. And
you
have to move on from that, you know, and don't try to keep, you know, apologize. I try not to apologize for my opinion. I'm going, it's my opinion. It's me, not you, and you have the right to disagree.
Exactly.
Or agree. And that's how, you know, I think with your book, because I'm going to have to get it too, unless somebody out there wants to buy it for a Christmas present for me or a related birthday gift. I take all books.
Oh, please. I'll send this book.
But, you know, it's exactly right, Lady Q. You're right. They need that. You know, it's our opinion. And you know what? I'm going to bring up a topic, and I want Miss Natalie Weber to, you know, we were talking about domestic violence a couple of weeks ago, and we were talking about the fact that, you know, domestic violence isn't just a physical thing. It's a mental thing. It's a psychological, it's everything. What have you ever been in a relationship, or do you know people who've had a domestic violence?
Oh, I've been in one, and I do know. So yeah, it starts off as a mental thing, I think, anyway. That it starts off as a mental thing, and then it develops into a physical thing. And domestic violence, I just don't like it whatsoever. And I have two sons. And, you know, from the time that they can talk, I've always told them, do not put your hands on a woman, regardless of the fact. Do not put your hands on a woman. And, you know, it's the parents. Parents have to teach their kids from young how to respect women, and that's the key. And if parents don't teach their kids from young, they're young men, you know, hey, you're not supposed to do that or you're not supposed to do this, then, you know, what's going to happen? It's just going to evolve into something bigger.
I agree. I definitely agree with that. That was something that we were talking about. It's been, I don't know, kind of like our passion the last couple of weeks talking about domestic violence. And I agree with you. In my opinion also, it's a mental thing. It starts off there and it goes and diverts to other things, and I agree about teaching the kids young, and it is about respect, which also goes back, see how I'm relating everything, to your book, because the young lady had to still respect herself to be able to do whatever she wanted, you know, in whatever direction she decided to test the waters, because that's what, and I honestly feel that that's what our women, young women, aren't really getting from some of their, you know, parents or whoever they're that are raising them. They need to start young. They need to be raised like we were raised, with respecting yourself first. Looking when you wake up in the morning, looking in that mirror and saying, "I love me."
Mm-hmm.
Before
and that,
you
and
walk out
problem,
that door.
I think that's a major problem, because most of these young women that are in this domestic abusive relationships, they have low esteem. I know when I was in one, I had extreme. I was 14, 15, and you know my esteem was very low. You know, this man is, he was a man at the time. Yeah, he was over 18. So, you know, but he, you know, at first it was, you know, don't wear this. Why are you wearing a short skirt? You know, and then it evolved into, like, he got mad one day and just went off. And that was that. And I was just like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe he hit me. And, of course, it went back to, oh, I love you, and oh, I'm so sorry. But, you know, he did it a month later again. And it was a hard struggle for me to get away from this guy, because I loved him so much, and I felt that I needed him to be me. And then I realized, I don't need him. Why am I putting myself through this? You know,
when did that realization hit you? I mean, how long were you in this relationship?
It took a long time. I was in this relationship for a good, I would say, 4 years.
Wow.
It took a real long time. And, you know, even my friends, you know, they were telling me all the time, and, you know, you have your friends, you're 14, you're a teenager, you think you know the world. And, you know, you're not, oh, you just don't understand. And, you know, oh, but he buys me this and he buys me that and he takes me here and he takes me there. But
you were explaining it away. You were explaining every little thing that he did, just like, it's okay.
Right.
You know, he's not really doing anything wrong type of.
Right. He just got mad. It was my fault. You know, that was
right.
My main thing. I always said, oh, it was my fault. You know, I shouldn't have said that. Or, you know, oh, I shouldn't have did that. And, you know, it just was like, no, that's not it. And then one day I just was like, wow, okay, one day it got really bad. He hit me really bad. And I just said, you know what? That's it. And I left. I cried my heart out, because that was my first love. But
right.
You know what? I'm married to a totally different guy now. So
much happier, wonderful children.
Exactly.
Totally,
you know,
different relationship. Yeah.
You know?
Now, in some of that relationship, do you think, now I know that I'm, like, bicurious, one, Serenity gets a little, with her relationship with Sadie, it's a little possessive from, I'm assuming, I haven't read the book, so I'm assuming, but from what I read, from Sadie's perspective, so she's a little possessive. Do you think that any of that, I'm not sure, you're going to have to help me here, because like I said, I haven't read the book yet. So is any of the possessiveness or any of the underground world and any of the other stuff that you, the webs and lies and stuff, does that come a little bit out of that 4 years?
That stems from a little bit out of that, yes. And writing it all out, not exactly what happened, but, you know, you write it all out, and you're like, wow. And then I said, after I wrote all those scenes where she started getting possessive and all this stuff, I was like, yeah, I remember, and I kept remembering. And then I would be like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe I did that, you know. I was looking at myself like, really, Natalie? Is that what you're doing? Really? You did that? You actually went through that? You know, it was like, wow, I didn't even know. It was like a totally different person. You know what I'm saying?
I do. So in a way, bicurious, not only, you know, set your foot in the door for your new career of being an author, but I kind of think and hear that it's almost like a healing thing for you too, because you got stuff on paper that you didn't even remember, and now it's like washed clean, so to speak. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Okay. Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, I always think that writing is a good therapeutic way of getting through things, whether it's, you know, I'm feeling sad today because of what happened at my job, you know. Write a little poem about it. Write a little, you know, entry about it. And I used to do that, you know, all the time. So, and it helps.
Well, maybe I should start writing again. I think most women wrote when they were, you know, we were young, but eventually you stop writing, type of thing. I'm going to bring Lady Q back. Okay. Okay. Is there anything you want to... Oh, we got feedback from you, Lady Q. I'm going to have to mute you, babe. I'm sorry. Call us. Hang up and call back and see if that helps, Lady Q. Katie, I'm going to bring you back.
Yes.
Hey, is there anything you want to, you know, say or comment on what we've been talking about the last few minutes?
Yes, I just wanted to ask Natalie, if there's any Natalie Weber fans that's listening that's maybe going through a domestic abuse situation, what can you tell them to, you know, what advice can you give them?
First advice, they have to look themselves in the mirror and be ready to leave. Be committed to leave. Understand that this is not the situation that you want to be in. Understand that being hit is not the right thing. And once you make that commitment, you have to follow through. And, you know, tell somebody. Sometimes talking to strangers, you may find this funny, sometimes talking to strangers is the craziest things. And you have the best listeners in strangers because they don't know you. They don't know you. And you tell them a situation and you say, hey, what do you think? And they'll tell you the honest truth because they don't know you. So, you know, but I really honestly think that if some of my fans are out there and they're in this predicament, they really need to commit to leaving and finding a better life, because nobody wants to be hit. And, you know, it's like, I mean, thinking about this is just bringing back all sorts of memories.
Okay, well, let's get off the topic. If it's bad for you, then we will change the topic.
No, I mean, it's fine.
If it's helping you, then let's keep on rolling.
You know, I'm over it now, but, you know, it's just like, you don't want to hear those things, you know, and it kind of hurts me to know that if my fans are really going through this type of situation, it's like, I want to help you. You want to talk to me? Talk to me, you know. Let's see how we can do this. How can you leave, you know? Do we need to, you know, set up a rendezvous time? Do I need to come pick you up? I will. You know what I mean? It's like, I just don't like
that.
It is. Let's change the – well, actually, let me see if I can get Lady Q back real quick. Lady Q?
Yes, ma'am.
Are you back? Okay, no, we don't have any feedback now. Okay, good.
Yay!
Sorry about that.
That's okay. Is there anything you wanted to, you know, ask or comment about the last couple of things that we've brought up to Natalie?
I was sitting here shocked that once again somebody in our community is touched by domestic violence. Like you said, Nikki, this is something that we've been kind of in our passion, strangely, kind of turned into something we've kind of talked about a lot over the last month. And it always just strikes me how many young women, they're so young. You said you were 14, Natalie, and this mm-hmm. man was a grown man. And how many of us get wrapped up in those situations where we are preyed upon, quite honestly, by older men who are, you know, see these young vulnerable girls and want to mold them. And again, it goes back to, you know, what you're being taught and you know, having the self-respect as a young kid not to do those, not to fall for those things, and also the teaching our young boys not to do those types of things. So I'm glad that you made it out, and I'm glad that you are happily married and moved on and got a good cathartic, therapeutic lesson from writing these books.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to take a short break and listen to Keeping It 100 by Brandon Kane.
Let the beat knock.
Baby, you know I've been with it. Ain't no need to lie, girl, I did it. To keep it 100, I took the place under my fitted. Cause now I got cream, push the coupe, windows tinted. You can come ride with me, girl. Ain't nothing to scoop you up just to spoil you. I wanna be the only guy that you're loyal to. I just do the city top down, so they know it's you. Oh, my swag off the meter. You a jerk, so you reject you when you see ya. Keep it cool, yeah, like I'm supposed to. Keep it cool, yeah, when they approach ya. So what's the point in you running? I keep them all running. And I'm sad, baby girl, if I want it.
I'm gonna keep it one.
And welcome back. This is Baby Mama Talk with Nikki Outlaw, co-host KD and Lady Q, and we are on Lawless Radio supporting our local come-ups, and that was Keep It 100 by Brandon Kane. We have our special guest tonight. We've been talking with author Natalie Weber from Urban Books, who has written so far 2 books and volume 3 coming soon by Curious, volume 1 and volume 2. And we've been talking about that book, and of course, for those of us, those listeners out there who've been with us over the last month, domestic violence and just really hitting some really hard topics the last few weeks. Natalie, again, we thank you for being on the air and speaking with us. As I said, you're with Urban Books.
Yes, I am.
So let's talk about Urban Books, ladies and gentlemen. If you're all of you who don't know, Urban Books is, it's hot. It's popping up where people don't think it's popping up. It is popping up out there. It's moving. I just saw a post sometime later part of this last week that a new store just opened up not maybe less than an hour from me here in Virginia.
I believe so.
Yeah. Oh, it is. I just can't right now remember what the city is. That's why I just said Virginia. I can't remember. I think it's, I don't want to say the wrong city. But I did see a post, so I'm happy, but it is, it is rising, and it's a fairly new company, correct?
Yes. Well, not fairly new. We've been out since, I would say, year 2000, I believe. Yeah.
Has it been 2000? Fairly new.
Yeah, when I came to the company, you know, they were just starting up, so.
Okay. And what is it that you do?
I am the production director.
Nice and glamorous.
It does, doesn't it? I love it.
If you're looking for a title, sometimes the title is like all this stuff, and you're like, oh, that really sounds good. I don't know what I do with it, but, hey, it's good. But I'm just trying to backtrack for some people who are just joining us, so, you know, to give them a little background. So what is it that you do at Urban Books?
I am the production director, and what I basically do is I make sure I get all the manuscripts, I make sure anything that has to do with your manuscript, I'm the person. I make sure it's edited. I go through it myself sometimes. I'm the person to talk to when it comes to manuscripts.
So if we had some listeners right now who have been writing or, you know, feel like they're going to write, whatever the case may be, but want to be an author, and they have something that they feel is, you know, the audience needs to hear and want to read about, then they would send something, when they send it to Urban Books, it would go directly to you.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So listeners, you hear that. If you got a book out there, she's not out, don't bombard her.
I already get over 100 manuscripts that come in. I don't personally see about those manuscripts that come in, but I do have a reviewing group that reviews all that, and I do speak with them every week, and you know, they let me know, well, this one's real good, or you know, it's okay, but we need some work on this one. Stuff like that, and you know.
So do you guide the authors as well as maybe, especially if it's like a topic that you go, oh, you know, the audience out there would really grab hold of this, but it, like you said, it needs some work.
Oh yeah.
Do you contact them and go, that's awesome.
Absolutely.
That is a really good thing, because you know there are some companies out there that don't do that. It's like they just send that rejection letter and be like, sorry, bye.
No, if the how can I say, if the plot is good and the gist of it is good and we can get where you want to go with it, then, yeah, why not, you know, work with you and see, you know, there's potential there? Sure. That's not a problem.
Awesome.
Our editors are always happy to work. Always happy.
Job security.
Yeah.
We all love job security. Anything to keep us employed right now, especially with this economy.
Anything
to keep us employed. But that is really good to know, because I did have someone before the show, when I was preparing for the show earlier, hit me in my Facebook inbox and asked me regarding writing and how they could get started. And I, you know, my advice was to them was to contact various, you know, author, you know, publishing groups and, you know, go from there. My advice was kind of limited because I'm not a writer.
Well, in a perfect world, usually the steps are, you know, you find an agent, which is the perfect world. But we all know it's not all a perfect world. So, usually you would just call the publishing houses, ask them for their guidelines, and they'll mail you their guidelines, and you go by their guidelines. If they say do not mail in the manuscript, do not mail it in.
I understand.
You know,
and that's a good point. We do need to, when you contact them, find out what they're looking for and how to submit because, yeah, you know, you don't want to submit, you know, 15, you know, copies of a manuscript and wasting a tree.
Right.
Go green.
And then, you know, there's a lot of manuscripts that come into our offices where it's like, you know, nonfiction or poetry. But in our guidelines, it clearly states that we do not publish these kinds of books. So, you know, it's kind of hard for me to send in the rejection letter, but I have to because
right.
I sent you the guideline and, you know.
You didn't follow.
Exactly. You know, and that's really key sometimes, too, you know, just for an author to get their foot in the door, you know. Because if I tell you, hey, send me your synopsis in 5 chapters, don't send me the entire manuscript. I didn't ask for the entire manuscript. You understand? So it's like,
right.
Okay, okay,
right.
You don't listen.
Well, that's a very good information. Thank you. I'm going to go back to your book.
Okay.
If we're in New York or D.C., are you about to do a book tour? Anything coming up?
I know, I'm not sure because I have to schedule this because I have kids and, you know, it's summertime. That's why I only have one publication a year because I have to have time to write. And, you know,
okay.
The best time for me to write is during the summer. I just can't do it in the winter months. But I do plan on having a book tour sometime soon. It'll probably be towards the end of the summer.
Okay. Well, we definitely will keep, you'll keep us, you know, in the loop, and we'll keep our listeners and Facebook friends and everybody
will.
In the loop, because I know that, you know, some of us, you know, like to meet, you know, authors that, you know, really touch us in some form of capacity, or just, you know, we just love, you know, what we read. So we definitely, I wanted to make sure that I got that for any of my listeners who want to know, well, how can I, you know, meet her in person or, you know, anything like that. So, listeners, just be patient. It's coming.
Please, be patient. Please.
And you're right. The summer months are, especially when you're a mom, whether you're a single mom or a married mom or just an aunt who's a mom. And, you know,
right.
Summer months are hard trying to do stuff because I'm a mom, you know, biologically, as well as I have nieces and nephews that I've been taking care of.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right. You know, there's some things usually during the summer that I kind of like go, oh, I can't. You know, I can't do this photo shoot. I can't do this thing. I can't do this event, you know, because it's like they're out of school.
Right.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things. And, you know, it's like, well, I don't want to hear my son, Mom, why can't we go? Well,
right.
We can't go.
Right. Exactly. So give us a little tease on, you know, we've basically been talking about how Bicurious got started. What's going on in Volume 2? Just a little bit for those of us who, like I said, haven't read Volume 1 or, you know, or 2. So just a little tease.
Well, a little tease, huh?
And then a little tease on what you're working on.
At the end of Bicurious 2, I left it off kind of dramatically, where Serenity is now with a young lady called Iris and another lady, her partner, Trini. And Tootsie is also along for the ride. So in Bi-Curious 3, it starts off where they're at and how Serenity feels about, you know, being trapped again, being caught in this crazy web again. How could she? And
let me make sure I got this right. So instead of just one crazy web in volume one, and she goes from volume one to volume two with three
mm-hmm.
crazy web.
Mm-hmm.
And so, wow, okay.
Yep.
My mind is spinning.
Yep. And now basically she finds herself trapped in a situation where she is sort of like, I would say, I really don't want to give it away, but
yeah, like I said, don't give everything away. Just tease, and then, you know, move on to volume three. Just a hint of what you might be in store. For, you know,
and volume.
That's a cliffhanger for volume two. Keep on moving to
Volume three, Cass reappears, and Heaven as well, and Heaven now gets into a little, let's say, a little problem herself. She doesn't know which way to turn. She doesn't know if she likes men or women. And Cass doesn't like it at all. So he gets kind of annoyed.
And so the plot thickens, and we're going to leave it like that. The plot just... The plot thickens. Wow. Lady Q.
Oh, my gosh.
Lady.
I have to get books.
There's a lot of twists and turns in three, because I'm not sure if I'm going to end it there or maybe go on. I'm not sure. I haven't decided.
I love twists and turns. I'm so excited, and I'm over here on pins and needles like, oh, I can't wait to read books. So
we actually
we have
a caller. I'm gonna put you on hold. Ready to keep hold on. We have a caller from area code 619. You are on the air with Nikki Outlaw and Natalie Weber. Who are we talking to? First name.
Hello.
Hello. Welcome. What's your name?
It's Gina.
Hi, Gina. Gina Love. I'm sorry, baby. I didn't recognize your phone number. I got numbers going up off the switchboard here.
It's okay.
Natalie.
I called at the last minute this time. That's what happened.
That's okay. Gina, speak to Natalie.
Hi, Natalie.
I'm fine.
I had a question. Because I don't really do the credit card thing. So is there any other way to get the book?
Because
everybody's telling me it's good.
where are you from?
I'm in California. Well, I'm originally from Detroit, but I'm in California.
You're in California? Is there a Barnes & Noble over there?
Yeah. There's a Barnes & Noble.
Go to Barnes & Noble, honey.
Okay.
I wanted to make sure
everybody's telling me, they're like, it's good. And I was like, the cover looks good.
Well, Gina, she just gave us some snippets for those of us who haven't read volumes one, two, and she's getting ready to finish up volume three. And girl, I'm on pins and needles just sitting here, and I haven't read anything, so I'm dying to read them. Gina, thank you so much for calling in. We got another caller. First, you are on the air.
Yes, sir, the boss man. I know y'all talking about Natalie's book and everything like that. I'm not going to lie. I do have the book, and I bought the book from the Richmond store. I haven't read it yet. I'm, like, backed up on my book game. But the question that, and I'm going to keep it real, but Charlene told me it was real good, you know what I'm saying? So that was, you know.
Good.
Reason why I picked it up. But the question that I have for you, and I want to know, is what will you say to that lady that's out there? Because you do a lot of multitasking, you know, from what I'm hearing. You're a mother, you're an author, you're an editor, you know, for a major publishing company. So what would you say to that girl that's maybe having, or that man that's having a hard problem, a hard time multitasking? Because, you know, like, especially in the black community, like, we, you know, it's hard for us to do several things at one time. You know what I'm saying? And it seems like, to me, you're very good at,
you
choose a time when you're going to write your books, and, you know, because you have a lot going on. So how would you, like, what would you suggest to that young lady right now, maybe Gina or somebody right now that's listening out of California or Detroit or whatever, on how to just stay focused, really how to stay focused to their goals and also multitasking at the same time? You get what I'm saying?
I get what you're saying. It's all about time management. When I start my day, I know exactly what I'm going to do in the morning, and I know exactly what I'm going to do in the afternoon. You know, and sometimes, yeah, I don't eat lunch, but that's just me. But
probably, no, we don't.
I'm sure you do it too. I'm sure everybody does it. You know, sometimes you just work, and you know, it's every day you have to set a goal. Okay, I'm going to finish this today. You know, and you have to do it, whether it's going to only take you 15 minutes or whether it's going to take you an hour. You have to write it down. Like me, I write a lot of things down. I make lists for everything. You know, if I'm going grocery shopping, I will make a list, and this is how long it's going to take me. It might have a little, you know, I might have a little obsessive problem about it, but, you know, that's what I do, and that really helps me. It's all about just saying, okay, well, my goal today is to write 20 pages. And whether it's till 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning, I know that my goal is 20 pages, and I better have these 20 pages done. And that's it. You have to commit it.
Wow. I think that right there just helped. I know it helped me, but I know it helped a couple other people that's probably listening.
But first, yeah, you're always multitasking.
No, you're right. I know I am, but you know what, Nikki? It's like, and we got to keep it real. Like, especially in the black community, you know what I'm saying?
I
say that because
I
can't talk about any other race. I can only talk about, you know, my race. But in our race, like, that's one thing that, for one, it's hard for a lot of people to focus on one thing or whatever, and then to try to multitask, you know, because you hear a lot of, let's say, single women say, well, you know, I can't do this because, you know, little Tyrone is doing this, and you know, and then what it also does, it also goes back to, you know, people, they have dreams or goals, and they kind of lose focus, and, you know, so all that kind of ties into the same pot, you know what I'm saying? So that's why I wanted her to break down, and maybe that can touch somebody right now that's listening. Because if she can do it, if you're hearing from Natalie Weber, and she can multitask with, have, you know, being a mother, being an author, and also
being a wife,
you know, being an editor, and all, you know, and then
yeah,
and
you
then
can't
also,
forget the wife thing.
I know, that's
also,
why she's
yeah,
also,
yeah, because that's a full time right there in itself. So in doing all that, maybe that person that's out of California or Detroit or Chicago right now, you know, that's listening, like, you know what, just to be an inspiration of, like, you know, if she can do it, I can do the same thing, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And I think that's what we really need more, especially with a lot of our black females, is to see, you know, or let them see a listening to somebody else that's doing, you know, what they're trying to do.
What
or
they're
what
doing.
You know what I'm saying? So I get you.
And
I think a lot of people, they lack self-confidence. And that, you know, that's the main problem. You know, people say, well, you know, I don't think I can write. I don't think I can write this book, you know, but it's like you have to be confident within yourself in order to do something. So if you really want to focus and go on and go ahead and do what you're there to do, then you really have to have confidence in yourself.
And
if
I agree.
It's just not going to work. It's not going to – you're not going to have that upliftment to do or motivation to do what you have to do to get it done.
You're right. I totally agree. But I also want to say that one of the things that our community needs to do is get off the phone, get off the text, get off the social media, get off the – no, but this is the reason I'm saying this. I'm not – this is what I'm saying, because we're focused. We're grinding. But, you know, I see some, especially our youth, and I see some adults do it too. They're up here saying, oh, I don't have time. I don't have time to do this. And if you can spend 2 hours on Facebook and all you're doing is playing games or doing whatever versus instead of grinding.
Yeah.
You know what? Well,
you can push towards your goal. You remember the new word for 2012 is no longer grinding. It's working. We working.
Working.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm working. But you know what I'm saying?
Because sometimes people be grinding and they're not going nowhere. You know what I'm saying?
That's true. You're right. I like it. Working. You're right. But, I mean, I have some associates who they're like, oh, I was on Facebook, and I'm like, or I was on Twitter, and I was doing this. I'm like, okay, well, did you make that phone call you said you were going to do? No. Did you do this?
No, I forgot. Oh, man. I forgot.
Exactly. But you were on your phone cutting up, talking about whatever it was that you were doing. But I'm going, you know what? The same time now, like first said, we're all multitasking. We're all doing whatever. And now you are definitely doing it. But you know what I'm saying? You time it out. I mean, just even to do Baby Mama Talk, me and my co-host, we have to plan, you know, what days are we doing the promotions? Who's going to do it? KD, she's our promotions girl. She takes time. She's going to school. She's trying to make herself better. She sets out a time and says, okay, during this time frame, I'm going to hit Facebook hard. Then she's done and she goes, that's what I'm saying. When you're saying you're writing stuff down and goes back to what First is saying, that's what those people need to do. That's what our community needs to do. They need to, like you said, focus and set some goals, saying, okay, today I'm going to do this between this and this, and try and stick to it.
Yeah,
and
I mean,
they'll see themselves move.
It's hard, you know. Sometimes I'm home and, you know, I come home, I quickly do dinner, and then after dinner, it's like, okay, I have to write. And my kids are there, and it's, yeah, I want to hang out with them, I want to play with them. Oh, you know, but I can't. Hey, you have to leave me alone now because I have to write. And, you know, sometimes it's hard, but I have to do that. Because if I don't, then I can't write, you know. So you have to have a goal. You don't have to have your main goal. You don't want to, you know, like, what do they say? Don't they say, like, the world wasn't built in a day or something like that?
Mm-hmm.
So you have to have those little goals first. If you have those little goals, then trust me, at the end, it's going to be like a snowball. So it's just going to be bigger and bigger and bigger, and that's it.
I want to be like you when I grow up. Yes, but this has been an awesome conversation, Natalie. It has been a pleasure having you on the show tonight.
No, I thank you guys.
And now we have been your first, and now next thing you know, you're going to start going out here and do other radio shows.
Well, I hope so.
And
hope you
actually,
guys
you know
invite
what?
Me back.
Oh, most definitely. We'll definitely have you back. Never actually, you're going to take it a step further. I don't know. You could be on TV. Somebody could call you and say, you know what? We want to interview you. You got to put it out there, you know? Put it out there. Put it in the universe and keep on moving. I'm going to bring – first, did you want to say anything else before I
– The only last thing I wanted to say is, thank you guys, thank Natalie. But I have to say this, you know, for everybody that's listening – when I mean, you know, and I don't know the day-to-day that probably Natalie has to, you know, do and deal with. I just know personally probably the stress, you know what I'm saying, that me and my team, you know what I'm saying, have to do, you know, have to give, you know, the stress that we probably give her with on my side, you know what I'm saying?
Oh,
but
come
I know,
on.
No. It's nice stress. But, you know, ladies, please, whoever's listening out there right now, this is a powerful, powerful woman. Not just powerful woman of God also, but just please take notes of what she said on how to delegate your time and everything else like that. What I mean, you know, trust me. What I'm even going to do, I took something from this, you know, and I'm very glad that, you know, because I wasn't going to be on the call because, you know, I know I'm still going through, but, you know, something just told me to be on this call. But what I'm going to do, because I don't do, I'm going to start writing down, you know, because I don't write down things I need to do every day. I just wake up, I'm like, yo, okay, I'm going to do this, this, and this, and this. And next thing you know, I'm stressing out my agent. And, then, you know, and you know, the
yeah,
whole
and
squad.
Something gets lost in the shuffle. Something gets lost in the shuffle.
I hate to cut you off first. I hate to cut you off. Our time is almost up, hon.
We're going to have to give 2 hours.
We're going to have to stretch it. We're getting ready to stretch it. But, ladies and gentlemen, you have been talking to Baby Mama Talk with Natalie Weber. We thank you for listening. And, yes, my co-hosts were already talking about extending this to 2 hours. I think we're going to have to do that. We love you. See you next week at Baby Mama Talk. Thank you.